Rose's life accomplishments include being a two-time conference champion, creator of the Ode to the Walk-On, business mogul, and every Cougar fan's favorite weekday sports radio host. This is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle, right here on ESPN 960.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from Chubby's Cafe, chubbyscafeut.com. We'd love to see you. Stop in, say hello. Got some delicious, delectable hamburgers for you here at Chubby's. Gurney's been eating his beer-battered fries.
Yeah, can we extend the break? I tried to eat them as fast as possible, and I couldn't finish all of them, and I want to eat them really bad. Really bad right now.
Yeah, I would love for you
to. But I have responsibilities.
You do have responsibilities. He's been giving some fantastic takes today. Love it when G-Man's bringing his A-game, and appreciate him being here to break it all down for you. It is time to get to know the foe. You heard the Utah State Aggies fight song, and so we're going to get to know the foe in this segment. Going to be brought to you by Larry H. Miller, Chevrolet, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram here in Provo. All those vehicles can be driven by you. Talk to Curtis Grieve, the GM, the general manager down there at Larry H. Miller Chevrolet, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram, wants to give you the best deals on all those vehicles. New or used vehicles, whether it's 2125 North University Parquay there at the Provo Auto Mall or 1825 North University Parquay at any one of their dealerships, talk to Curtis Grieve. He'll get you that ESPN 960 discount and premier service that you're looking for. All right, so let's get to know the foe and get to know what's going down in Cache Valley with Jacob Nielsen, Aggie beat writer for CacheL.com. What's up, Jacob?
Nothing much. Good to hear from you guys.
Hey, man, it's great to hear from you as well. Thanks for hopping on to give us a breakdown of Aggie football. So I don't know what's happening right now, but I've never seen in the last decade plus, we have not seen an Aggie football team struggle as much as this Aggie football team. It did remind me of the Aggie football team that I played against at Lavelle Edwards Stadium in 2006. Just not very talented, not well coached, was trying to figure themselves out. It was a blowout game. They were outmatched, outplayed, outcoached in every way. And it seems like this team, I'm hoping it's better. I think it's better from a talent standpoint, but the productivity, the execution just hasn't been there. What's going on up there with the Aggies?
No, it's been a real shocker for, I think, everybody in Cache Valley. I legitimately, the coaching staff, believed that this was going to be another really good team. The players believed it. The fans believed it. We believed it as the media, right? And it just hasn't come to fruition like that. And more so than that, it's bad. Like, I mean, you lose 35-7 to Weber State. That's pretty unacceptable, but that's kind of what's been happening. So there's so many different factors, and obviously the biggest issue is with the offense and just how poor the offense has been this year, because the defense, they've had some poor showings, but we've seen a little bit of improvement with the defense as the weeks have gone on, and the UNLV game, they actually performed decently well, but it's just the offense is it's so bad. And so you got to look at some of the turnover in the roster. And I think a lot has been made of the transfers, right? That was a big deal when Blake Anderson got here. He brought in all these transfers and stuff. But as important as that is, I think it's been blown a little bit out of proportion, because some of the guys that were the best players on the offense last year that are gone weren't transfers. They were guys that had been around for the Gary Anderson years. And that was Devin Thompson, Derek Wright, and then Demetrius Aliafua on the offensive line. And those are three guys that are really, really being missed right now. And they weren't guys that Blake Anderson brought in and changed the program. They were guys that were already in there and were developing. And not having them, especially Kevin Tompkins and Derek Wright, guys that can beat off the back of the safeties and the defense and really open the field, not having them has been a big problem. And obviously, you can see Bonner and his issues, whether it's ACL health issues or confidence issues or whatever is going on there. We've heard plenty of different things. It's just been kind of a mess so far.
Well, looking at the schedule, UConn, you beat UConn. UConn's not very good, obviously. Alabama, 55-0, you write that off. Everyone has to write that off. It's freaking Alabama. But the Weber State game, how big of a shock was that to the system? And I do believe after the bye week, And it looks like Utah State was able to play UNLV top. UNLV is obviously not a great football team. But do you think this team might be figuring out some things after that shocking loss to Weber State that it can carry over and maybe see a little bit of progression come Thursday night against BYU?
Yeah, I think that the biggest development in the bye week was more of the energy and passion. And these are things that I love talking about because you guys know when you're talking to football guys, the players and coaches, they're not going to give you the real X's and O's issues. They're not going to give you the full answers in certain regards, but we'll talk about culture and stuff like that. But there definitely was an issue with the energy and excitement coming off the Alabama game going into the Weber State game. Because Alabama or not, when you get kicked down 55-0 by a bunch of other guys, that takes a hit on your morale. And this is a team that going into that Alabama game, they want to know, they still think that they're the same team that won the Mountain West Championship. And so that week before Weber State was notably the practice. They went really poor. The energy was low. And you consider how great State Hill's defense is and how bad Weber State wanted to get that win and how ready they were. It was the perfect formula for failure and then some, because obviously the Wildcats just dominated that game. So I think that during the bye week, there was a little bit more of a spark, a little bit of energy. And we've seen with other programs, especially Boise State after the UTEP loss, we've seen and how their quarterback transferred. We've seen how maybe adversity can result in teams kind of crumbling a little bit. But the best thing is after the Weber State game, I think the team really came together. There was a players-only meeting, and we saw in the UNLV game a team that was more energetic, more passionate. When Kenny Kuriaki, the backup defensive tackle, when he was injured, he broke his ankles, going to be out for the season. The entire team ran onto the field to swarm him and support him. And if anything, if you're going to look at any positives so far this season, this isn't a team that has divided itself between the coaching staff. This is a team that still loves each other and supports each other. And there's a myriad of other issues that we saw at UNLV: discipline, penalties, poor execution, maybe a lack of talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But this isn't a team that has given up on itself, similar to, I would argue, the 2020 team did with the COVID season. So that's the biggest benefit, the positive that we've seen, is they actually did battle in that UNLV game. They didn't roll over. They just made a ton of mistakes and ran into a team that just might have been more talented with them, which isn't saying much as UNLV, but it might have been a reality.
Jacob Nielsen, Aggie beat writer for KSL.com. KSL.com is where you can find all of his musings, all of his reports. Jacob, I don't know if you're on a Bluetooth or if you're on speaker, but you sound a little bit muffled. I don't know if you can readjust or anything like that, but your voice sounded a bit muffled on our airwaves. But we're getting to know the foe here on ESPN 960, and getting to know the foe is brought to you by LHM Chevrolet, LHM Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Jacob, what is it that the Aggies really do well thus far this season?
Hey, well, I mean, this has been a continual problem with the sound, and it's got to be speed up in Cache Valley. You know, sometimes the telephone service doesn't totally get out here very well. But I moved rooms. I'm hoping, can you guys hear me any better?
Yeah, we can hear you better. It sounds good.
Perfect. Remind me of that follow-up question.
Yeah, so the follow-up question, what is it that the Aggies are actually doing well this season? Like, where is it that they can build off something right now?
So I think where they're doing well is on the defensive side of the ball in terms of the rush defense. That's been a major positive. It started out poorly against UConn. They gave up a lot of yardage, but the biggest benefit was in that UNLV game, they held a Rebels team that had rushed for over 400 yards against North Texas the week prior. They held them to 2.5 yards per rush. And that was with a depleted defensive front. They're missing several guys to season-ending injuries like Benny Tuiaki and Phil Paella and Pukesi Bakuata. He's a starter. He missed games prior to the season and was just kind of getting back into it. So the fact that they're not at full strength and they were able to hold their own in the trenches defensively and stop a UNLV rushing attack, that was actually a big positive. And so that's something going into this week that they're hoping that with BYU obviously not having an established back so far, maybe they can hold the Cougars on the ground a little bit better than they did last year, where Tyler Algier ran wild for 200 plus yards and pretty much ran away with that game.
Yeah, it's look, this is a rivalry game, and like there's a Vegas has BYU as a 24.5 point favorite right now. ESPN FPI has BYU heavily favored, 95.2% chance of winning, all those things. But shoot, this game, it's not necessarily anything can happen like the BYU Utah game, which has typically been one score, you know, a 3-point loss, a 1-point loss, a 7-point loss, what have you. But things can get really icky, really dirty, really awry in this game quickly. And so this one of the things, let me throw this at you. Cooper Legault, you know, what's going on with him, and why hasn't he seen a whole lot of playing time? It's a guy that I think BYU fans kept an eye on in high school as he was a Utah County prospect, a Utah County product. I think he had a PWO to BYU, ends up at Utah State on scholarship. Why hasn't the coaching staff believed in him and given him a little bit more love?
You know, I don't think you're the only person to ask that question. That's a lot of people are asking Blake Anderson. And he said prior to, Blake Anderson said prior to the UNLV game, hey, Logan Bonner is on a really short leash. And then he threw in five interceptions in that game, and what happened? He stayed in, right? And so people are scratching their heads a little bit. I think part of it is just the belief in Logan Bonner runs so deep for Blake Anderson and his coaching staff. Blake Anderson recruited Logan Bonner to Arkansas State back in 2016. They've been together for a long time, and so I think he really believes in Bonner's ability. That being said, when you're not producing as needed, when some things aren't coming together the way that you want them to, sometimes you got to make a change, and that's what some people are calling for. They're saying that Cooper Legault had a chance in fall camp to win the job, and Logan Bonner beat him out. What I think is whether or not Cooper or Logan is the better passer, at some point, if the offense isn't working, you need to make a change. And beat up and his status for tomorrow is uncertain in that regard. But will Cooper Legault make the start because he will beat Bonner out for 2-1? I don't know the answer to that. The one thing that I would put out there is the offense, you got to throw another variable in there, right? And so in the UNLV game, they had Bonner keep the ball and scramble on a few times. And the way UNLV, the defense, was approaching it is they were just rushing three guys and dropping. And so open passing lanes. It was difficult, and the run game wasn't working very well either. And when you have that extra variable, you can maybe pick up some yards, you know, catch them off guard. And there was one play in the second quarter. Bonner kept the ball, faked a handoff to Tyler, went right. The entire Rebels defense followed Tyler Dean except for one guy. He just needed to be one guy, and Logan Bonner could have a 20-yard game minimum. And he gets tackled for a one-yard game. And watching that play, watching the film of it, I'm thinking, I think Cooper Legault in fall camp and spring ball, I know how he can run. And even the third stringer, Levi Williams, if this is their answer to changing the offense, is throwing that extra running variable in it, just put in a guy that can actually run the ball effectively. That's just my thought process. And so I don't know if we will see that tomorrow night. I think that Aggie fans, not a slight against Bonner, just desperation for improvement, especially playing the hated rival. They would love to see Legault in there just to see if they can switch something up.
Yeah, I get a feeling, G-Man, I don't know about you, but I feel like Cooper Legault is going to get a shot here. Wouldn't that be like, I mean, if you want to inject a little bit of energy into you, you know, I would say that's the right move. I asked Riley Jensen that question yesterday, but I would say if I'm Coach Anderson, you got to find something. And maybe that could be the answer. At least give it a whirl type of thing. It's like BYU was trying to find a run game. All right, let's see what Miles can do. And he scorched Wyoming. Scorched them.
Yeah,
10 yards per carry. So find out, man. Sometimes a little motivation, a little.
What do you have to lose?
Yeah, what do you have to lose? You're a 24.5 point dog right now in an away setting. If one man can maybe turn the tide. Maybe it's Legah, who on his first attempt in college football threw a touchdown pass. It was like a 70-yard bomb. I remember that. I was like, man, Coop, looking good, man. He's got some swagger to him as well, and he can run the football a little bit. He's a dual-threat quarterback.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it would also be an awesome story for if he did get an opportunity tomorrow, because he's an Orem High grad. He was Pukan Nakua's quarterback in high school.
Yeah.
And he would be got a ton of family, ton of support down there. It would make for a really exciting narrative tomorrow, similar to maybe Riley Nelson. Obviously, that's different because he transferred from Utah State and came to BYU. But same in the sense that a hometown guy of the opposing team coming in and providing a spark in a game, that's something to watch out for. Is that going to happen? Who's to say? But it would certainly make Thursday night more interesting.
Why is it that quarterbacks get injured in this game so often, or like get benched in this game? 2011 for BYU side of things, Heaps gets benched for Nelson. Taysom Hill gets injured in 2012. 2013, thank goodness, no injuries or depth chart issues. 2014, Taysom breaks a fibula. 2015, no injury to Mangum. He lasts. 2016, Taysom injures the elbow. 17, Hodges injured. Detmer's replaced. 2018, Mangum gets benched. Wilson replaces him and starts the following week versus Hawaii. In 2019, Jaron Hall gets a concussion. Baylor Romney replaces him. 2020, in a COVID year, everyone's got COVID. We don't play that game. 2021, Baylor Romney concussion. Jacob Conover takes over. And I think Chucky Keaton got injured. Yeah. Last year, Logan Bonner gets injured. I don't know. I'm trying to.
What's going on?
What about the Utah? Have there been any other quarterback injuries since 2011 or benchings since 2011 to present day in this game? I just gave you the BYU side of things.
Definitely on the Utah State side, the most notable was 2013, where I believe it was 2013 when Chucky Keaton had a season-ending knee injury in this game, and that's what Isaac Dangle points to the most. But definitely, it's been a really unfortunate turn of events, especially for BYU. And I don't have an answer for y'all better than you could come up with. But there's something about maybe that this game always sneaks up on BYU. Obviously, Utah State has it circled around their calendar, but it's usually a Friday or a Thursday night, middle of the season, so there's a little bit of wear and tear. But then there's all that emotion and energy. And Utah State, they don't play dirty, but they're going out there and they are playing with a lot of emotion, and they are playing as hard as they can. And with that, collisions happen, and it's crazy. It's unfortunate to see all these quarterbacks go down, and hopefully it doesn't happen tomorrow. But it's just one of those caveats of this game that always make it wild. That along with turnovers, it seems like every year one side just seems to turn over the ball a trillion times. In 2017, BYU turned it over 7 times. Utah State turned it over, I believe, 5 times in 2019. And so always something wild happens. It's never necessarily, for the most part, this game doesn't go down to the final possession or the final score, but something always unexpected happens, and much to the detriment of one team or the other.
Yeah, it's not good. We appreciate you hopping on to give us some of your content. What do you think the score will be? What do you think? How do you think this game plays out in Provo?
Well, I mean, this might be the season for Utah State, because obviously they got the conference. They have a chance maybe to compete on paper still, but in terms of trying to save the season from the nosedive that it's taking, making a stand in this game would be that statement. But I know as well as you guys do, just that it's hard to see that happen. It's hard to see where Utah State's going to get their offensive production, especially against such a stingy BYU defense. And on the flip side, Jaron Hall doesn't turn over the ball. Gunnar Romney is coming back. I don't know how the Aggies are going to shut down the offense either. And so I think Utah State does cover, because I think it's such a wide spread. But my final score prediction, I got BYU 34, Utah State 17 tomorrow in Provo.
There you go. That's the score, and he's sticking to it. Appreciate you hopping on today, Jacob Nielsen. Jacob, how do we follow you? How do we consume your content, brother?
Yeah, give me a follow on Twitter, at JacobNielsen12, and then at KSL.com, KSL Sports, the Utah State beat writer. And so, bro, just throw all your clicks that way. And, yeah, no, appreciate you guys. And it should be a good game tomorrow. Hopefully everyone stays healthy. And it's the last one in the series. So let's make it count. Let's make it memorable.
All right, let's make it memorable. Hopefully no injuries. Can we just handshake? No injuries, please, for the love of all that's holy. Appreciate Jacob Nielsen. Appreciate you. Great stuff, as always. G-Man, any thoughts?
Staying healthy. You assume it's a COVID thing. It's not a COVID thing for BYU Utah State.
Yeah.
It's physical injuries, right? Does BYU get hurt more than other teams? I hung out with a bunch of guys, and all of them asked me, and they were earnestly seeking. It's like, why does BYU get hurt more than other teams?
I don't know if it's they get injured.
Yeah, I don't either, but that's the kind of the perception a lot of BYU fans have. Mm. And hopefully that's done away with. Man, I'd like to see a clean game. There's too many guys going down for this BYU team already. You're seeing too many defensive line injuries.
Yeah.
I'm a bit worried about that. Josh Larson, sure, he's not a standout guy. He's not a frontline guy. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to see that depth any more impacted than it has been. I mean, Gabe Summers has already had injury issues. There's at least four guys that I can think of off the top of my head. Earl Tuohy, OT Mariner, and then Tyler Batty's a huge injury. That's a big problem, and we all know about Atanaiza Mahe. Stop getting injured, guys. Stop it. It's the position that you don't want to see a lot of attrition. You want to see guys rotate in because BYU doesn't really have that stalwart D tackle, that Kyrus Tonga type. So you need a plethora of guys. You need an active rotation. You need guys to stay healthy. And, man, I just don't like to see that. You especially don't want to see it. Looking forward to Notre Dame. I know fans are like, I can't overlook Utah State. I can overlook Utah State.
You can.
I am looking over. I'm overlooking Utah State. Mm-hmm. Right? It doesn't matter, guys. But just don't get hurt. I want to see a full complement when BYU matches up against Notre Dame Las Vegas.
All right, we're going to go to break. Coming up next, read between the lines and getting to know the foe. We'll read between the lines. Blake Anderson went in front of the media earlier this week and opined on all things related to, hey, you can't eat. We're still live. You can't eat the.
Oh, I'm eating.
Can't
stop
eat.
It.
Blake Anderson, head coach, Utah State, addressed the media earlier this week, and we'll read between the lines. How impressive had Jaron Hall been for BYU this season? What do you see in this BYU defense that could cause problems for your team? And much more. We're live from Chubby's Cafe, chubbyscafeut.com. We'd love to see you. We're at the University Mall location, 1087 South, 750 East. That's 1087 South, 750 East, Orem, Utah. And we're giving away some Chubby's Cafe hats and also scones if you purchase an entree here at Chubby's Cafe. This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
The Cougars' opponents and rivals right now in a Know the Foe segment on Cougar Sports with Ben Crittle.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Crittle, broadcasting live from Chubby's Cafe, chubbyscafeut.com. We're at the Orem location. Stop by, say hello. We'd love to see you. The Orem location next to the University Mall, 1087 South, 750 East. That's 1087 South, 750 East, Orem, Utah, 84097. If you mention ESPN 960 with your purchase of an entree, you can get free scones for dessert. And Gurney loves the scones almost as much as he loves the beer battered fries. He loves everything on the menu. You'll love it as well. It is time to get to know the foe and read between the lines with Blake Anderson, head coach for the Utah State Aggies. The Utter Tuggers of the North are coming to Provo, and I can't wait to see if BYU covers. Are you leaning, and it's a big number, are you leaning to the Cougars covering minus 24.5?
No doubt in my mind.
No doubt.
They're
without
covering
a shadow
this
of a doubt.
It's going to be 42-10 is going to be the final score this
42 game. 42-10 is what he's calling right now. Bryce Larson behind the glass. Gavin Lee on the social. Let's read between the lines. Going to be brought to you by our good friends at Ruby's Inn, rubysinn.com. Go to rubysinn.com/960 and get 20% off your stay. They're at right next to Bryce Canyon National Park, the wonder of the West. Hike, bike, razor, horseback ride through them hoodoos. If you don't know what a hoodoo is, Google it. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful red rock formation jutting forth from the Earth's crust. You definitely want to see the wonder of the West and stay at Ruby's Inn, rubysinn.com. If you go to rubysinn.com/960, get 20% off your stay at Ruby's Inn. All right, let's get into it. Blake Anderson, head coach, Utah State Aggies. This was his opening statement from earlier in the week regarding the BYU week.
I felt like it was our defense's best game of the season, with the exception of a couple breakdowns. We played really, really well up front. We played with a physical kind of nasty mentality to stop the run and to be able to stop UNLV from running the ball as effectively as they had in previous games was a huge task, and our defense stood up to it. I know we had one big throw down the sideline where we had a bust, and really, honestly, we just fell down. We had a short field after the punt, the kneel down punt that got us in a short field that we need to force a field goal. But honestly, they played well enough for us to win in almost every area. There's several things we can fix. But if we play with that kind of passion, we play that physical up front, and we'll mix it up in the back end, then we got a chance to win games as we move forward. Special teams, I thought, did a great job, with the exception of the one bad snap and the kneel down creating a short field. We had a blocked punt. We had several good punt returns. We had another big kickoff return to midfield, and we covered kicks well. We need to avoid the penalty. We need to avoid the kneel down in that area. Those can be avoided with better execution and really just smart play by Jamie Nance. I mean, he can't afford to get the penalty there, but we played really well in special teams. Offensively, more explosive than we've had. We pushed the ball downfield better than we had in previous games, but we are still struggling for consistency. We didn't run the ball particularly well. We definitely did not move the chains on third and fourth and short, where we absolutely have to. And then the turnovers, we can't have turnovers and expect to win games. It's surprising that we were still in a 10-point game late with how badly we played in terms of turnovers and penalties. So we did improve, albeit not on the record, and obviously the scoreboard only showed minimal improvement. I think without the turnovers, without the penalties, we're in great position to win that game, and that's what's disappointing. Those are self-inflicted mistakes that we have to fix, and we battled those yesterday. We were very extremely transparent in all those areas where we can fix those problems, and hopefully we will take another step forward this week and eliminate mistakes and play our best game and find a way to get a win against a really, really good BYU team. Maybe the last time we get a chance to face them ever, which is a lot considering it's been played 90, 91, 92 times. So no better time than now to play our best and eliminate mistakes and go get a win.
I need that quote out there. He said this may be the last time ever. That's coming from his athletic director.
Wow, and you kind of forget about everything else he said at the interview when he drops that.
That's coming from – I mean, that's got to come from the athletic director, right?
Yeah.
This may be the last time BYU and Utah State face each other ever.
Or maybe he's just sick of playing BYU and he kind of wants to.
Well, he's only played – he's played one game versus BYU as a coach. No, this has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, this is coming from athletic director. That's got – I mean, I know I'm supposing here. I'm assuming. It's not coming from him.
I know.
It's coming from his athletic director. And I think – let me ask this to Cougar Nation. Poll today. I want that quoted, Gavin. Blake Anderson states – that this may be the last time BYU versus Utah State happens ever again. Would you be okay with that, Cougar Nation?
I think Cougar Nation would be fine with that. I don't think BYU fans like playing Utah State.
Especially with that history.
They don't like it.
How does this chronological quarterback history?
Utah State's an annoyance. You don't gain anything. Like, what's BYU going to gain in this game? I do think – I'm going to go back to his other comments. Even though I'm going to stick to my prediction of 42-10, I do think there's a really good chance BYU's going to see Utah State's best version. They're going to be motivated.
Oh, yeah.
They're on the upswing and whatnot.
I bet you Coach Anderson has a nice little bonus structure, too, in his contract if he beats BYU.
And it's just a game where you might don't have expectations. Just bear down, get out of there without injuries, and move on to Notre Dame. You beat Utah State by 10 points, fine, whatever. Mm. Doesn't mean anything. You're going to make your hay next week, the week after against Notre Dame, certainly against Arkansas. That's the real – just get through this dang thing without injuries. Hopefully we can see Puka and Gunner
yeah.
just play, right? Just get out there, show something. Get that cranking and whatnot, because I think BYU was able to obfuscate a lot of that against Baylor. I don't think they can get away with it again. Maybe against Notre Dame, but certainly not against Arkansas. You want to see a full complement. You want to see BYU healthy. I don't want to see guys on the ground. Stop it. Mm. So anyway, but I don't think BYU fans care about playing Utah State. I really don't.
Ever again.
I don't think BYU fans would care. But it's going to happen. You know why? Because Utah's going to be joining the Big 12 pretty soon. So that's going to be a locked-in conference game.
Okay.
So that's going to make Utah State more.
And to your point, Dennis Dodd reported that the impending yes. Pac-12 doom is upon us because the Big Ten is going to be expanding to the expanding four more teams, and they're going to be picking off poaching from the existing Pac-10 now, Oregon, UW, and Cal and Stanford.
We're really going on a tangent here, but anyone who's realistic and thinks throughout all the possibilities and the processes, mm-hmm. Utah's going to be in the Big 12 is the most likely scenario.
Sure.
And any Ute fan who's honest will admit that.
Or would you rather have San Diego State?
Nah, you take Utah.
Why? You already have the Salt Lake. If you're Brett Yormark, do you take San Diego State or you take Utah?
There's a good argument to be made about San Diego State. There
you,
is.
If you're Brett Yormark and this and the
you
Big
want
Ten,
California,
the Big Ten takes Cal, Stanford, UW, Oregon. You're not going to take Washington State, and you're not going to take Oregon State. Maybe because you don't, they just don't move the needle. Wouldn't you think that San Diego State moves the needle more than those two schools? And you already have. You already have the Utah market. You don't need to add Utah. So then you go add maybe the Arizona schools. Or you go just San Diego State, ASU. You go Colorado maybe.
Colorado. I just can't imagine they go San Diego State over Utah. I mean, like it or not, Utah's built a really good thing up there.
Yeah, I'm just saying
very
from a time zone standpoint and a geographical
I think that's overrated.
TV market.
I think that's overrated.
Is it more time zone related or is it more TV market related?
Well,
or is it both?
Well, we can argue that in the offseason, Mongoose.
All right.
We're getting on a tangent, man.
This is the last time. These are the dominoes that are falling.
But seriously, what dominoes are going to fall that doesn't lead Utah to the Big 12? Tell me. I don't get it.
Well, if Yormark doesn't think there's additive value to adding Utah, if it's dilutive, why add Utah?
Well, that's the best case scenario for Utah. I guess that'd be a better way to phrase this.
So Washington State, you heard it here first, Washington State, Oregon State, and Utah to the Mountain West.
There you go. Wow, Criddle.
Yeah. I'm going to get some hate mail from Utah fans here shortly.
Yeah, the three of them that are listening to us right now.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. They always want to know what I'm saying about them. How impressive has Jaren Hall been for BYU this season, Blake Anderson?
I'd say he's been somewhat flawless. I mean, I know they've got a loss on their record, and he may be frustrated about his play, but what he's done in terms of accuracy, the ability to move the pocket and extend plays, and then really to reach the wide side of the field so effectively, that's not something everybody can do. They run the ball extremely well, and that takes a tremendous amount of pressure. I mean, it doesn't really matter what running back they put on the field. They're effective at running the ball. But he can reach every area of the field, and he can hurt you with his feet. He's a total package. We didn't see him a year ago. We're seeing him up close and personal this year, and he's playing at very, very high level.
Very, very high level. That commentary about opposite hash throws to the field is spot on. I mean, that back shoulder to Keanu Hill from the opposite hash was majestic. It was celestial. It was perfection. And shout out to Keanu for snagging it and staying in bounds and getting upfield and then getting it into the middle of the field. It was beautiful, like in so many ways.
I was just about to term that as Jaren's best pass of the year, but then I'm thinking about his pass to Chase Roberts against Baylor.
To the corner of the end zone?
Ooh. It's kind of hard to beat that one.
Yeah, it is hard to beat it. Yep. I don't know which one is. My favorite may have been the Chase Roberts throw.
The one that Keanu dropped against Baylor was fantastic.
Oh, well, USF.
Yeah, that's right.
In the bucket.
Yeah.
Just a dime. Blake Anderson, more commentary after he gushed all over Jaren Hall and his fantastic quarterbacking ability. Blake, what do you see in this BYU defense that could cause problems for your team?
Well, they're built really well up front. They're big. They play a lot of guys. I'm not sure what the total number it is, but it is definitely you're playing a lot of people, keeping a lot of guys fresh. They've got length out on the edges to play man coverage, which they will. They played a ton of man against us last year. But their ability to play the run and slow the run down, obviously with the exception of two really good rushing teams in Baylor and Oregon, they're still able to play the box with few numbers and commit guys out in space, which makes windows really, really hard to get into. We struggled to effectively run the ball against them last year at any point, only sparingly. We got going in the second half by hitting some windows in the back end and a couple explosive throws. But running the ball is very, very difficult because they are so big up front, so powerful, and so long. They shed blocks well. They're able to play man covers with that length. I mean, there's a challenge everywhere you look.
Everywhere you look. He went off, though, on, like, this hockey substitutions.
Yeah.
Do you think he thinks it's a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a good question.
They put a lot of guys up front. A lot of guys.
Man, I'm having a hard time reading into that one. What do you think, Criddle?
I think it's a bit of an anomaly to see as many guys playing up front as
we didn't create the substitution package. That's part of college football. And
look, they are multiple. They are variable, no doubt. And they try to match personnel groupings, but they also rotate a ton of guys in. And the idea behind it is that you have some sort of neuromuscular fatigue that occurs, and then you have a decrease in productivity and efficiency after a certain rep count, after a certain amount of reps that you've taken, and therefore it's better to have a 100% football player in with no fatigue than an 85%, even if they are more talented, football player in the game. And the injury risk, too. I think that's one of the things that they're trying to do to limit injury risk. I don't know if it's really had an effect. Maybe it has. Maybe it hasn't.
As you've lost four defensive linemen already this year. Man.
Well, maybe they would have lost more. I have no idea.
They lose the entire team.
I have no idea, man. You have to wonder, right? Kalani's going to defend his coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I'll nitpick certain things, right? That's fine. But you also have to give credit for certain things as well. I think Ed Lamb has been a really good special teams coordinator. And I think he's been actually a pretty good recruiter, too. Like, you can nitpick, but he recruited Blake Freeland. You know, I think, Harris LeChance was at Utah State prior to his mission. He comes back, and BYU's got him. He was a Harriman product as well. So there's, like, some crossover there of getting NFL guys, getting length, et cetera. I told you about Tyler Allgeier, Elisa Tuiaki, Ed Lamb kind of closed that deal. They found him. Reno Mahe told us. The Miles Davis situation is also interesting, as Nevada is the geographical area that who covers Ed Lamb. Now, I think Gennaro maybe took lead on it, but initial geographical evaluations came from whom? Ed Lamb. And what is Ed Lamb known for doing? Finding zero-star, 6'1", 185-pound skill guys that can run 10-6, 100 meters. And they come in, and sometimes they hit home runs on them. Sometimes they don't. But with the how NCAA football has changed, you're not being held accountable anymore for the the GPA and the graduation rate because of the transfer portal. So that's completely changed. Now the transfer portal has upended what was holding BYU back in some regard with the graduation rate, with attrition, if there's academic or honor code attrition. Like, it doesn't hurt them anymore because now you can't hold anyone to a standard because of the transfer portal, because everyone's transferring and you can't hold them accountable because they can go anywhere. And just because they don't get scholarshiped after that doesn't mean that you're going to be punished for it, because it's the kid's choice. It's free agency now. So very interesting. Very interesting indeed. So as I go off on a tangent. Now, but the defense.
We want to talk about everything except the specific matchups against Utah State.
No, but this is interesting, though, because I kind of want to – let's play that soundbite again. What do you see in this BYU defense that could cause problems for your team, Blake Anderson?
Well, they're built really well up front. They're big. They play a lot of guys. I'm not sure what the total number it is, but it is definitely you're playing a lot of people, keeping a lot of guys fresh. They've got length out on the edges to play man coverage, which they will. They played a ton of man against us last year. But their ability to play the run and slow the run down, obviously with the exception of two really good rushing teams in Baylor and Oregon, they're still able to play the box with few numbers and commit guys out in space, which makes windows really, really hard to get into. We struggled to effectively run the ball against them last year at any point, only sparingly. We got going in the second half by hitting some windows in the back end and a couple explosive throws, but running the ball is very, very difficult because they are so big up front, so powerful, and so long. They shed blocks well. They're able to play man coverage with that length. I mean, there's a challenge everywhere you look.
Was that complimentary of him, of Elisa's defense, of Ed's defense, of this BYU Cougar football defense? What do you think?
Well, yeah, the words were. Certainly. You're going to speak about the intent.
Yeah.
You're reading between the lines.
He's right, though. Baylor and Oregon are very good run teams. Like, besides for the Georgia game, like, Oregon's a very talented run team, and so is Baylor. They can establish one of the very physical. So
Utah State is not.
Yeah. Blake Anderson, what are your thoughts on this game not being on the schedule in the future?
Well, it's a great rivalry. I understand what's going on. I mean, I think we all saw this potentially coming with their move to the Big 12. But rivalry football is what college football is all about, in my opinion. I absolutely love it. Have not always been able to be a part of that, but some of my most enjoyable experiences are these types of games. So I hate to see it go. I understand why it is. You'd like to think it'll come back around at some point, that we'll be able to get it sorted out where this game comes back in the future. But for a while, this is going to be the last one. And I can't think of a better time to play our best ball and get a win than go down there and find a way to beat these guys. That's a huge challenge. They're a phenomenal football team. It would be huge for us. And it would obviously give us a tremendous amount of momentum moving forward. But everybody will remember the last one. And that's great motivation for our guys to play their very best.
Bro, Utah State doesn't even have to go to a bowl game. If they beat BYU, Blake Anderson's a hero in Cash Valley. Like, oh, hallelujah. Extend him. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong.
Spot on.
Beating BYU is such a big deal for those guys up there.
Yeah, it's a massive deal. And Blake, you can tell, man, he's up for this game, because I guarantee he's got a little bonus structure in the contract. He's going to play some of them Utah County boys that didn't get recruited by BYU. Remember Dallin Levitt? Remember his fervor?
Oh, yeah.
After transferring?
He was an angry man.
Angry Dallin. Yes. He's still in the NFL, by the way. Good football player. Good to help the Cougs. Anyway, he's no longer – I do believe once Cougar, always Cougar, but, like, BYU fans don't want anything to do with Dallin. Like, they do not accept him. No. I think there's a segment of BYU fans that's still like, hey, like, as they've heard Jake on our airwaves, they've seen him on interviews, they like Jake. They're okay with the Jake Heap saga turning out like it did. They still may say, oh, you shouldn't have left. You should have stuck around. It didn't pay off for you. Grass isn't always greener. Told you so, right? And that's fine. That's fair. But I think they like him. Dallin? Nah.
You don't want any of that.
Nothing to do with Dallin.
No.
Last thing for Blake Anderson. Historically, this game has been full of a lot of emotions. How do you plan to manage your team's emotions in a big game, in a big rivalry game?
Yeah, there's no doubt it can. Rivalry games do. So we got to learn from last week. We cannot win this game with 11 penalties, especially, you know, it's one thing to have a in the course of play, hand placement gets a little bad, you get a holding call. Hand placement, you know, your hands to the face. I mean, I get combative penalties. It's the unforced error, unsportsmanlike conduct where your emotions take the best of you. We cannot have it. We cannot put ourselves in a position to retaliate. We definitely can't instigate it. And that goes from head coach all the way down. We've got to stay composed. play on the edge of out of control without crossing that line. We have struggled to find that line so far. We have crossed it 2 weeks in a row. We cannot continue to do that. If we do, we will, guys, we won't be very successful. I mean, the formula is out in the open for everybody. We know what we got to fix. We got to eliminate turnovers. We got to eliminate the penalties. We got to play mistake-free football with the same energy level that you saw this past week.
What do you think, Blake Anderson getting his team up for this game?
Oh, they're going to be up. There's no question about it. And when you look at the schedules and all that, what should have given me pause heading into the Oregon game? And I stated this, right? Yeah, they get whacked by Georgia. So what? Mm-hmm. They beat up bad on an FCS opponent.
Yep.
That tells you something. I think Utah State, sure, it's not glorious, but after getting embarrassed by Weber State, you have that bye week. You have chances to get things together, recalibrate and whatnot. You go against UNLV, who's not great, right? We all know what UNLV is. It's been the same team for, what, 20 years running? You know what UNLV is, pretty much.
Yep.
And you got beat by 10 points. Yeah, it's not great, but at least you weren't whacked.
Yeah.
You didn't get run out of the field or anything like that. So there is tangible improvement happening in the Utah State program. And when you look at what happened last year, this is a team that can be bowl eligible. This is a team that can run through the Mountain West, which is a pretty decent football conference. Maybe Utah State's realizing that and becoming that team again. Reaching back, licking some wounds and saying, hey, guys, come on, let's get this together. Yeah, it could be dangerous come Thursday.
All right, we're going to go to break. Don't go anywhere. More to get to. We're live from Chubby's Cafe, chubbyscafeut.com. That was a Reading Between the Lines segment / Know the Foe segment brought to you by Ruby's Inn, rubysinn.com. Go to rubysinn.com/960. Get 20% off your stay at Bryce Canyon National Park, the wonder of the West. Hike, bike, razor, and horseback ride through them hoodoos. You will not be disappointed. Coming up next, insider report from an insider, Cougar Sports insider, Kevin Reynolds of the Salt Lake Tribune. What is he hearing about this Cougar football team as they prep for the Utah State Aggies football team in Provo? This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.